Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness, brought to you by Global Schoolwear. Styling school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger. Lower Extremity Review magazine, just celebrating their 15th year. And the very famous UK Health Radio across the pond. Tremendous shout out. Were the Olympics incredible or what, everybody? It's just what an experience to watch those and know what it takes to get there. We've got a great doubleheader today. Alan McGowan, he is a science communicator. He's a teacher. He's an environmental advocate. He's joining me along with Robert Ramirez, the financial specialist. He's a technology manager. And more importantly, he's been a sports dad. Then the sports doctor is in segment with some Dr. Bob Wisdom emails. Alan McGowan, welcome to the sports doctor.
Thank you very much. It's a great pleasure and honor to be here.
Alan, give us some background on yourself. Again, the world of science and these things that you're paying so much attention to in the world of the environment and health and wellness and vaccines. Give us some background on yourself.
Okay. I graduated from Yale in 1957 as an engineer. I worked as an engineer for 2 years. Then I went back to graduate school, wanted to get married, so needed a job. So I taught in high school for 10 years, taught science and mathematics. Then I went to Washington University, where I ran a program on environmental health, and then ran back to New York, ran an organization called the Scientist Institute for Public Information, which was a bridge between the scientific community and the media. And now
that's a big deal. That's why communication between those two worlds is whether we're talking sports medicine or whether we're talking about, again, the health and wellness and all of these different areas is so important, is that communication between, you know, the world of science. It was no more apparent in our face, this incredible challenge, during the pandemic, wasn't it, Alan?
Absolutely. And the pandemic was full, unfortunately, of misinformation. And the correct amount of information needed to be given. So communication is really important. I totally agree.
Of course, I think, you know, for the most part, we did our best as best we could within an impossible situation.
I think the professional community did a wonderful job of getting out there and explaining to the public what was going on, explaining that vaccines really do work and that one should be fully vaccinated against COVID-19 as well as a bunch of other things. Yeah, the professional community was very good.
And again, regardless whether we're talking about professional sports or we're talking about college sports or we're talking about sports parents, and we're talking again about subjects we include all the time on the Sports Doctor, you know, we're seeing this backlash in the vaccine situation where so many individuals not even following through with what we all grew up with. Because again, you know, this challenge between science and the media, and, you know, with so much misinformation, that's why you got to be a sports psychologist, don't you, Alan?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and we need to talk to the public about discriminating bad news from good news, misinformation from real information. The public needs to be much better informed than we think they are at the moment. So there's a big job ahead.
Well, even again in the subspecialty area of youth sports, where the sports doctor, we pay so much attention to the gigantic business of youth sports and just the epidemic of all sorts of overuse injuries and just overdoing it in so many different areas, both, you know, physically and mentally. You know, again, your first job area you got involved with as an engineer
when we're talking about posture and alignment and the role of the foot. So we can go back to some engineering remarks. I know you're working with what are the schools that you're involved with, Alan?
Well, I teach at the New School, which and I teach mainly in Eugene Lang College, which, is, as I said, is a four-year undergraduate school. But I've also I was a visiting scholar at Columbia University. And back in the day, I was at Washington University in St. Louis running an environmental health program.
And, you know, again, in the area of the communication, you know, between the world of science in so many different areas and in the world of the media or in the whole healthcare world, the whole our healthcare system with all these tremendous challenges. And again, all of these topics are key, you know, whether your son or daughter is a college athlete or whether you want to just be active yourself, stay healthy, and whether you're facing all of these questions, should I take the shingles vaccine and what about the other all kinds of situations? And the how is the medical area cooperating as you see with the science area in these communications, Alan?
Well, I think that there are some MDs, my daughter's an MD, are doing quite well in communicating with the public, but I think the media is trying to do a good job, but I think they could do a little better job by publicizing some of the evidence-based science that leads to the effectiveness of vaccines. How do we know they are effective? Well, we've done tests and we've done research, and we know that they're effective. And medicine, as you know, is part science and part art. If you go in to see a doctor, if he or she is a pleasant person, you're going to listen to them. So there's a lot of psychology involved in the interaction between the patient and the doctor. But I think the media is trying to do a good job. And in some cases, they are doing a good job, but a lot more needs to be done.
Yeah, I've been spending 45 years at it, Alan.
Right, good for you, man. Good for you. Yeah,
you know, so including incredible topics. Do you have a particular site or area where you or with some of your work that people could go to share with?
Sure. You can go to Alan H. McGowan, AlanHMCGOWAN.net. And my website is there, or you can go to citizenboas.com and learn about my book about the political activism of Franz Boas. So those are two places where you can find me.
Yes, I think, you know, that whole area of, you know, trying to change some of these different rules in some of these different areas. And what are the points that you're stressing on your site, the areas of interest that you're paying attention to?
Well, I think that science in general, which is actually a very interesting topic and a very interesting area of study, as I tell a lot of students, you don't hate science, you just hate the way it was taught to you. So I think overall, I emphasize the importance of science in our everyday lives and in the economy. I also do a little newsletter on Substack that looks at disruptive technologies. And I think things like artificial intelligence, for example, can be very important. It also can be very dangerous. You know, it's like a knife, yes. A sharp knife.
What about the big area? It's such a big area. Again, science's contribution in nutrition or in fitness or in high performance.
Right.
It's a gigantic area, and I was mentioning, you know, on the beginning of the show about the Olympics and what we were just, you know, it's just incredible, some of the events and the athletes and the whole camaraderie, so much of it in the middle of so much different chaos, you know, but again, science and nutrition,
I think,
big marriage.
I think sports is so important. I mean, I'm a total amateur when it comes to sports, but I think the camaraderie that exists in the Olympic Village, and as a couple of the swimmers said, you know, when we're in the pool, we're competitors. Outside of the pool, we're good friends. I think the mixing of people from different countries that sports allows us is really important and can be very exciting. So
absolutely.
I salute you in your work.
Yes, in the areas of high performance, injury prevention.
Yeah.
Again, the role of science is huge, whether I'm talking about the biomechanical orthotics I'm putting in your figure skates or in your football cleats, or
right.
we're talking again about the particular physical therapy or exercise program or rehabilitation some athlete might be involved with. And again, or like we just mentioned, the science of nutrition, and again, you know, the areas of science and the media, like you mentioned, you can't turn on the television channel for 5 minutes without seeing either a drug commercial or
right.
a diet commercial.
Right.
So
right.
the
right.
and we're just surrounded with this. So again, you know, the idea of getting out that information, you know, from the science community in all of these different areas, that's why you got to be a psychologist, my friend.
Yeah, no, I know. Well, I think I'm a fan of the Olympics, and we watched a lot of it. And just looking at what some of these young people are capable of doing, I mean, it's inspiring. I mean, when I see someone Biles do her thing, I said, how does a human being do that?
Exactly.
And you know,
but not only that, Alan, you know, Simone came out at the last Olympics.
Yes,
and
right.
paid the kind of gigantic attention to mental health
yeah.
that really changed so much. And you know, when you're watching an Olympian who's 17 years old, then you know he or she started when they were like four. So
it's an amazing experience
in so many different ways. And again, you know, as a science teacher and with the schools that deal with so many of these different areas, we were just talking with one of the scientists about the whole area of music, not only therapy, but again, music for relaxation, the mental side of things. I think science has accepted that challenge, you know, the marriage between the whole mental side of things, the holistic
side and
science. I think that, they're moving forward with good cooperation, don't you?
Yeah, no, absolutely true. And I think there, you know, I sing in a number of choruses, and I'm telling you, it is an amazing mental health activity. And there are studies that show people who sing in choruses are mentally calmer and able to face adversity in greater numbers than
this is why we've included on the Sports Doctor the challenge between again mind body all the holistic side of everything that goes back thousands of years, whether you want to talk about acupuncture or yoga or whatever reflexology or you're talking science that communication. Again, and I guess, you know, the more the media is exposed to some of these different challenges, the more maybe they can be helpful if we keep all our fingers crossed. Right?
Yes, I think the media can be, and the media has been very helpful. I salute a lot of the people in the media who are trying to do a good thing in getting out good information to the public so they can use it. So the public needs information. You need to know that there is such a thing as good nutrition and bad nutrition. There are good things to eat and not so good things to eat.
You know, you've got people arguing about climate change, Alan.
Oh, boy. I know.
Still.
I know.
That's another 10 shows. But this is it's so important to understand that a scientist like yourself is making a very big deal. That's why, you know, I introduce you as an environmental advocate, really. It's such a big, important area to continue to be educating, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And unfortunately, there's a good deal of science denial going on.
You
know, people are denying the science of climate change, and people are getting confused about the conflicting ideas. But, you know, I'm here to tell you, climate change is real, it's important, it's dangerous. And yet there is good news to be had about it. We know what to do. We just have to get the political will together to do it.
And again, like I mentioned at the top of the show, just 2 days ago, headlines.
Right.
The Olympics in 2028 is going to be too hot. What city can we include for the summer? Do we have to back off to like doing it in the spring?
That's a very interesting question, and I think that it's going to come to the fore because in 4 years, it's going to be even harder than it is.
Give me
now.
The websites again, Alan. I knew the time would fly with you. Give me where to find out more about what you're doing.
Okay, Alan H. McGowan, alanhmcgowan.net, or Citizen Boaz, one word. .com.
Great. Alan, thanks so much for joining me. Hold on. And everybody will be right back. It's the Sports Doc. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, the Sports Doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parent's perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, Hey Sports Parents. Everybody, we're back. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, and I'm welcoming Robert Ramirez. He's a financial specialist, a technology manager. Maybe more important, he's been a sports dad. Hey, Robert, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Dr. Bob, for all the help that you provide to your audience and everybody in the sports community.
That's awfully nice to hear. And the reason I like to have financial people like yourself on, Bob, is the fact of, again, if you're the parent of a potential scholarship athlete, or you got traveling team and you got all of these things, then you're up to your ears financially. And we like to include that information to sports parents, let alone the world of paying college athletes and all of these other things. So the topic is also really, really important. But I understand your son is involved in the Olympic area in the Winter Olympics.
Absolutely. He's excited about going to Italy in about a year and a half. He's already been to the last two Olympics. And he's the head coach for big air and slopestyle.
And snowboarding.
And snowboarding, correct.
Yes, I've put orthotics in the snowboard footlings of a couple of great ones over the years. I'm going to tell your son we'd like to welcome him sometime in the future on the
Absolutely.
Sports Doctor. You know, again, being the dad of somebody who, was he active himself in the sport, I'm sure?
Yes, he was, and he did some things that scared the heck out of me.
Right.
when he was more active.
Yes, and, you know, again, that whole role of having a serious youngster, whether it's ballet, whether it's figure skating, against the snowboarding, tennis, swimming. You know, we just watch the Olympics. And we just experienced many times, you know, you see a 17-year-old who's in the Olympics, you know, he was, who knows how old, 10, 11, 12. Mm-hmm. How old was your son when he got serious about snowboarding?
I was 15.
Right. He was later. You did something right. Maybe you didn't push him.
He was 15 years old, and as soon as he could, he left, and he moved to Mammoth Mountain. And he used to, in fact, at first he slept in his car until he figured out where to sleep. But he just wanted to be a snowboarder. And eventually he made it to the team. And then he began coaching the snowboard team, and then coached for a couple other countries, and then went on to the U.S. Olympic team.
Yeah, it ends up being a full-time situation. And again, when we're dealing with people who are coaching high-performance athletes, it's such a big deal. But let's pay attention. Robert, give us some background on yourself.
Well, I'm a professor by trade, but what I like to do with my students is teach them about financial freedom. You know, it kind of goes back to 2008 in the Great Recession that we had. I lost my job, and I was telling my wife we were losing our house, which was very sad. We have six kids, and I told my wife, you know what? I'm never going to depend on one paycheck again or one source of income. So I started developing passive income. And then I tell my students about it, and they love the ideas. And then I started teaching them about investing and multiple streams of income and how to get out of debt. And so I've been teaching that to my students since about 2009. And then that's how my book came around, Achieving Financial Freedom. I took some of the things that I was teaching them in my course to put into a book.
Yeah, wasn't this interesting, Robert, that, you know, all our lives growing up, for the most part, school didn't teach us anything or much about this whole area of our lives of how important it's become. How has different communities adapted to the fact that, you can't watch TV for more than 5 minutes where they include the fact of financial planning, which I think is a great thing that it's being included. How are we doing, Robert?
No, there's still a huge lack of financial education. And, you know, that's something that should start as early as high school and should be in all colleges, because everything, if you think about it, revolves around money. And you can't,
why is the
you can't
school
help
system,
others.
Why is the school system, you know, whether we're talking about preventing injuries and dealing with the sports performance at young ages, you know, with junior high school and high school, but why is the school system, you know, high school, not paying more attention to this whole area?
Absolutely. Should be paying more attention to it. And that's part of my crusade. But when you say why, I think they're just concentrating on the STEM courses and the most important things, you know, with reading, writing, and arithmetic and the sciences. And that's what most of their focus happens to be there. And they just figure that eventually over time, they're going to figure out the financial piece as well.
You know, when you read some stories about some of these youngsters, they're getting drafted, the NBA draft, they're signing a contract for $5 million. You know, I had a guest on from the summit, gosh, 3-4 years ago, I'm trying to remember, where her point was that 75% of professional athletes 5 years after they signed their contract were broke. And I said, holy cow.
Wow.
That idea of the, if she's even close. You know, let alone to the youngster who's a star quarterback in high school, and he's looking now at the NIL situation of being a paid. So I guess the education, again, of all parts of this is even more important.
Well, then on top of that, we both know that the life of an athlete is pretty short in terms of our working lives. You know, they're peaking in their 20s and 30s. And so, you know, they could make some good money, but it's a short period of time within their life. So financial management becomes really important, how to invest their money wisely and not get into debt. It's all very important.
Again, that young sports parent who has a young figure skater who is already on the ice 10 days a week, or whatever it happens to be with the training, et cetera, and the traveling teams and the club teams. Again, you know, hockey, the ice time, really being extensive. So again, the idea they in the world of sports parenting, in my book hashtag Hey Sports Parents, we included that topic, the financial side of trying to be better prepared. You said you had six kids. If they were all on traveling teams, I have to ask you how you afforded it, right?
It gets very expensive.
Are you kidding? Yes, really. But that, it's still a mystery, or it's not understood by a lot of these parents who get involved in traveling teams and whatever, that they should be better educated.
Correct. We've got a granddaughter that's into gymnastics. And it, you know, you wouldn't think that gymnastics is an expensive sport, but it is, with all the traveling they have to do, and the training and the competitions and whatnot. It really adds up.
And again, I find that interesting. Your son in the snowboarding, he was 15 before he started getting very specialized in that. But was he a skier or a skater as a youngster?
Well, I taught him how to ski, but then at 15, he taught himself how to snowboard and loved it so much that he just wanted to dedicate himself, you know, to that.
And, you know, again, the idea, the amount of physical and mental time that is required for that sports mom or dad and or for that coach who's involved again. And the more talented the boy or girl is, again, when you're talking about watching the Olympics and we're seeing and trying to sit back and understand what does it take to get there, and these are the kinds of kids that you're. And of course, snowboarding has exploded in popularity. It seems since your son started.
It definitely has, and not to mention the number of kids that get injured as well, and you know, serious injury could really hurt them financially.
Absolutely. Let alone posturally. You know, again,
exactly.
When we're talking about whether we're talking about wearing a figure skate or wearing skis or being involved in the snowboard, a lot of times, again, in my world of sports podiatry, you're looking, is this kid flat-footed? What's her posture like? How is her alignment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that goes into all of the science side of dealing with the sport, you know, like that, let alone the financial side. And with the, again, in the world of college, you know, NIL, the name, image, and likeness of a athlete coming out of high school, once they decided that they were going to be able to pay these kids, whole different world. What do you think about that, Bob?
Well, that's huge. This is something brand new that's just starting now. So
yes,
I'm still kind of
right
learning
out of the
more
box.
About it. And what I don't like about it is your star players are going to be the ones getting those sponsorships, you know, the quarterback, the wide receivers. But what about the linemen? What about, you know,
what about the
team,
fencer?
Right?
What about the snowboarder on the college team? And so
exactly.
These are all going to be interesting things. But, you know, with the idea, though, that concept that took forever, because, you know, the term student athlete was a legal term. It was in order to keep these schools off the hook if your son or daughter got injured and after they graduated, who's going to be, hey, what about these medical bills and some of these other kinds of situations? Have you found in your audiences, and what is the what's the website about your book and what you're doing, Bob?
Well, my book is called Achieving Financial Freedom, and the full name is Building Wealth Through Passive Income in the New Digital Age of Financial Intelligence. And I say that because there's a lot of new products that are out now, including AI and cryptocurrency investments. So we have to look at the big picture and all the different ways of making money with regard to our investing. And basically,
well, you talked about a major thing. The first sentence out of your mouth was like you had, or maybe it was the third one, where you were talking again about multiple sources of income and that whole idea compared to a job. You know, this whole, again, explosion social media-wise with these kids who are in school and are graduating and student debt. And, hey, what about trades? And the whole thing has been turned upside down in so many different ways. That it really, I guess, you again, being educated is the way to go for parents or grandparents, right?
Absolutely. And for everybody, you know, right now, something people don't talk about, but just in America, 11,000 baby boomers retire every day. But shockingly now, they're going to outlive their retirement because healthcare is better. People are exercising more. They're eating better. And the biological drugs are better. So that's a huge crisis in America, that these people are going to be outliving their retirement. So now, for retirement, you have to plan on another 30 years of retirement. And so you got to start thinking news. About you that know, in the 20s.
The term assisted living didn't exist. For example, my mom, the thought was, you know, nursing homes, nobody lives more than a couple of years in a nursing home. So no one has to be prepared with that idea that they might live 10, 20 years, again, if they can keep the health up and all these kinds of challenges. You know, I talk about it all the time, 80 is the new 60 and, you know, 70 is the new 50. People want to stay healthy. They want to stay active. And that requires paying some sort of attention to your world, right?
Exactly. And
hey,
and
wake up.
Financial education, if you don't have that, you're going to have stress in your life. And if you have stress, that's not going to give the athletes the confidence they need, because they're going to be worried about other things. And, you know, we want to reduce the stress in their lives. It's hard enough just doing what they do as athletes.
What are some of the bullet points in your book?
Well, we talk about winning strategies that are going to generate passive income. We talk about AI and cryptocurrency investments. We talk about artificial intelligence and how it can simplify people's lives. And then we also debunk some of the financial myths about retirement and just provide financial education, simple ways for people to invest so that they're doing much better than a savings account that might be getting them half of 1%, at least if they're matching what's in the SPY index, which everybody can invest in the SPY, they're at least getting what the big companies are getting. You know, right now it's between 10-14%.
So where does artificial intelligence, that's amazing, you know, in every area, where does artificial, you know, like really, and keep it simple, where does artificial intelligence come in? Regarding, is that still about being educated and being able to ascertain information and in some of these different decisions?
Yes. What it is a database of algorithms. It can quickly, within microseconds, look at all the data that's out there and come up with the answer based upon the data that it's looking at. And it's kind of like, you know, if you watch Netflix and let's say they track your history for 2 years, then the algorithm says, okay, I know that Dr. Bob likes to watch these sports shows, so I'm going to make these recommendations for him. He can, you know, which I know that he'll like. So AI is able to generate ideas quickly and summarize data very quickly.
We'll talk more about that when we come back. We're talking with Robert Ramirez, financial specialist, absolutely a sports dad. He's the sports doctor. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market
that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Sports Doctor. We're following up with our discussion with Robert Ramirez, the financial specialist, technology manager, the author of the book, Achieving Financial Freedom. He's also the dad of the guy who's coaching some of the Olympic snowboarding. And I wanted to Bob, to follow up on the idea again of that the education or of some of these different areas where people can really, really make a difference. You mentioned something, you know, where, again, you know, life expectancy, people are trying to live longer and staying healthy. And all of these different financial demands, they outlive their retirement. They don't pay enough attention. And this is, again, what got you very involved in writing your book, Achieving Financial Freedom. And talk a little bit more, again, about some of the different bullet points that you think are important for people to get.
Well, we want people to continue to make money into their retirement. Maybe they're not working anymore for a company, but they still have skills. Skills that they've learned over the working career.
What's your thought? Network marketing was always famous for passive income. Network marketing, is it still around?
Yes, network marketing is still around. Sometimes they call it different names. But
Amway.
Amway still exists as well.
Remember Amway, man.
Yes. And then we were talking about AI before the break.
Yes.
And it's in... And that is a field that is so expanding so quickly. And we're now seeing, as you know, we're seeing AI with robotics mixed together. And so there's the stuff that's coming out now is incredible. A robot that's going to mow your lawn, a robot that's going to clean your floor,
what about
clean the window.
What about everybody who says AI is going to take over our lives, that we're, wow, there's a danger here. Now, there's a lot of attention being paid to doing it right, though, isn't there?
Well, there is because
hopefully
it's growing so quickly that
it's exploding.
It's surpassing our human intelligence because it can gather data so quickly. But think of it as a tool, so that
great point.
You know,
great point. Think of it as a tool.
Correct. I mean, cars are great, but you know, but it's for you. You're use, and you drive the car. I know now we're coming out with self-driving cars, but we as people leaders, managers, people who use it, it's just another tool, just like spreadsheets came out years ago and Word documents, Google. They're just the tools to use which save us time. And, you know, because, you know, research, that information is out there so quickly. I mean, there's an AI product called ChatGPT, and it's the most used AI product. You can type in something.
Yeah, I have it. It helped me write a couple of articles. Yes,
absolutely.
Yes. And, you know, the idea, one of my colleagues in the world of electronic medical records and the AI connection to try to reduce burnout in doctors and others,
yep,
because of the amount of time that they're spending and learning about some of these different ways that AI can maybe be helpful in some of these, even the tedious side of things. But it's really amazing how it's exploded in so many different directions that could be like, but I like what you said, and it really is a tool. But I guess people have to learn about
which way to use the screwdriver, right?
Right, right. I mean, you ask ChatGPT a question, and you don't want to, that's not something you want to depend on for your paper or for a book, but it gives you ideas. And then from there, you start asking different questions. You have a conversation with ChatGPT, and then you've got your framework, and you use your own creative ideas to expand on that and come up with something. But it saves you time. It's a time saver. It helps you to get those first thoughts out so that you can expand on them.
You know, it's funny. We talked about briefly again about the challenges of some of these athletes, how these colleges are going to deal with it. You know, the NIL, the name, image, likeness. Like you said, if you're the quarterback, you might be signing something. But if you're on the fencing team or the wrestling team, the question is going to be, how is all of this going to work out? But when I had the money doctor, a colleague of ours, we've done her show talking about the same exact topic with these sports families and these challenges of what could be so extremely expensive. And trying to, again, being able to have some of these, whether it's the coaches or the schools, helping to educate these young athletes or athletes-to-be of what some of these challenges could be financially.
Correct. And for those employers that are going to get paid some huge endorsements now, they've got to get educated on
tax planning. Deion Sanders' son, I think he's got $4-5 million a year from the young quarterback, as an example of what the hoopla that was going on once they decided, and we knew that there was going to be some sort of a problem or whatever. Good luck, whether it's to the schools or whatever, if you do have a scholarship player. I mean, was anybody offering scholarships in the world of snowboarding?
No.
Not yet.
No, there were sponsors, but the sponsors were small time. Back when my son started it, you know, they provided snowboards and the equipment, and that was about.
But take a look. We watched the Olympics, and there was skateboarding.
I know that was exciting. I mean, I'm sad that they took out baseball and softball.
I know, it's crazy. I know
they replaced it with snowboarding.
Give us again the site dancing. People could find out about your book and your information quickly.
Okay. Well, anybody can find me on LinkedIn. Just type in Dr. Robert Ramirez on LinkedIn. My email address is my name, ramirez.bob@gmail.com. And my book is available on Amazon. And the full name is Achieving Financial Freedom, Building Wealth Through Passive Income in the New Digital Age of Financial Intelligence.
Hey, listen, Robert Ramirez, thank you so much for joining me. Hold on. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports Talk. The Sports Talk.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Coming up. Thank you. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident So will your young athletes. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey everybody, welcome back. It is the Sports Doctor Is In segment, where we preview some upcoming shows, guests, topics. We add a little Dr. Bob wisdom to the mix, answer a few emails. Next week, a couple of great, interesting guests. Mitch Francis, and his, I think his book is Badass. This guy takes on a lot of hot topics in a lot of controversial areas, including relationships of parents and sports parents and families and coaches and all sorts of different challenges, including world challenges in so many areas that he discusses. And then Emil, Joe Henwood will be joining us. He's got a fantastic book. He follows the life of one of the most famous singers and artists, and all of her different areas of interest on music, including music therapy and its whole world. The following week, we'll see if we catch him. Dr. Chris Ahmad, team doctor with the Yankees. Looking forward to him joining me. By the way, everybody, it looks like Dr. Chris and I will be teaming up in some way, shape, or form on Broadway with an FM station in New York. More information to come, everybody. You know, Dr. Bob, I got to talk about the Olympics and what a great experience it was to watch this. I got some great insight from a longtime guest, colleague of ours, Gina Pongetti, who was there in Paris. She's a gymnastics physical therapist, as well as other sports, but she was there with that whole experience. And so we got that angle, as well as everything else that goes into that whole experience of the Olympics and the excitement and the stories, the incredible instances of, you know, what it takes to become an Olympian. It's still one of the great questions that I bring up time to time on the Sports Doctor. I'll throw it out to you. What's more difficult, becoming an Olympian or a professional in the world of sports or athletes? Think about that, everybody. A couple emails. Kyle says, what is Morton's neuroma? Kyle, Morton's neuroma is a ball of the foot condition where the nerves and this particular connection of the nerves between the third and fourth toes run down into the toes in front and the bottom of the foot. That particular connection sometimes gets irritated or rubbed aggressively. Imagine somebody with a very high arch foot, maybe a flat foot that's really doing a lot of shearing motion. And we can thicken, scar the nerve. And the nerve starts getting in the way in that connection between the third and fourth toe. Could be numbness. Somebody might say, you know, I feel like my sock is always bunched up under the ball of foot. Can be, I get shooting pains. Can be problematic. And over the years, we used to feel that only a surgical intervention, removing that scarred nerve piece, would be solving the problem. Over the years, we've seen that there are various orthotics. We've had great success with orthotics that can redistribute weight, take the pressure off that area, control that excessive pronation or high arch foot very, very successfully. The cortisone injection, other kinds of holistic or progressive materials. So there are good conservative methods, shoe changes. What you want to be able to find out, Kyle, if the first recommendation for you is have surgery, get another opinion regarding what you can do conservatively. You had great success. Sometimes a physical therapist can get involved with different kinds of therapy, but is that thickening of that nerve connection that starts to get in the way, causing some of these symptoms,
and the top professional for this, from A to Z, is podiatry. Bill said my 12-year-old son plays serious hockey since he's like 10, 11, playing 3-4 days a week. He's having problems with these bumps on the back of his heel. You know, Bill, this is one of the most common problems we see in the whole world of skating. Figure skating, hockey, being very, very common, where we've got excessive rock and roll of the heel, and it's rubbing the back of the skate, causing irritation. Sometimes it's irritation to the bony prominence itself. There's a condition called Haglund's, where the bone itself is enlarged, but it's unusual to see it. The big point is excessive motion is often part of the problem in friction. Have the individual who fits your son with the hockey skates punch out the back of the heel. And if this is a problem that's been prolonged or something that you can really see when you're looking at them, the attachment of the tendon, I've been putting orthotics and skates for decades for this specific problem with great, great, great success. So if your son is a serious skater, the problem is more than just the first time situation. You really want to look at the role of orthotics. At the very least, try some sort of even superfoot insole to try to reduce some of that pressure. Sometimes strengthening of the Achilles tendon is also necessary. But this is a common and sometimes very recurrent problem in the world of skating. You know, when you're in a boot skate, you're locking that foot almost like in a cast, and any excessive motion, let alone normal motion, can rub. The other area we see a lot of this kind of rubbing is in the arch, right underneath that inside ankle bone, bone called the navicular, common area of irritation in the world of skating, also motion related, as well as the bump on the back of the heel. You know, we do a monthly segment, gosh, it's been a few years, with the TV show Run With It, which is out of British Columbia, with a frequent guest of ours on the Sports Doctor, Christine Blanchet. She was a competitive runner. She's still a serious runner. And one of her favorite shows, she's got a few TV shows, celebrities and whatever, is called Run With It. And for, gosh, the past 3-4 years, give it take a few weeks, once a month, I'll do a video with her, and we will discuss a topic that might be of interest not only to runners, but athletes of any particular sport, or the parents of any athlete of any particular sport. I think in the last segment, we'll do a 6, 7, 8, 10-minute segment. We were talking about common running injuries, whether it was arch and heel problems like plantar fasciitis, whether it was ball of the foot problems like we just discussed with the email regarding Morton's neuroma, calluses on the ball of the foot, for example, or tendonitis concerns, shin splint concerns, and others. Run With It. You catch us in that regard. Otherwise, we want to thank our friends at BBS Radio, and we'll catch everybody next time. It's the Sports Doctor. Thank you.